Today's Shi'as Masechta Shabbos Daf Zayin. We will begin on Daf Vav Amud Beis, 7 lines from the bottom. Amamar. The Gemara continues to discuss the Braisa that we discussed at length in our previous Shi'ar about the Dalei Rishuyos B'Shabbos. What are the different Rishuyos on Shabbos? So we learned Alvayam Ubika, a sea, an area of open fields, Vistavonis, as we explained extensively in our previous year, they used to have benches or small stands where they would sit in front of where they hung their wares in the Rishus Rabbim, the Carmelis. All of them are considered like a Carmelis, and a Carmelis is any like Rishus HaYochid, like Rishus Rabbim. It is not treated not like Rishus HaYochid, nor like Rishus Rabbim. Ask the Gemara, or Bika, when we speak about an open field, ain't a loik rishus hayochav, loik rishus rabim, does not have the status not of a rishus hayochad nor of a rishus rabim. Ask the Gemara for Tanan. The Mishnah, Masechta Taharis, teaches us Bika, an area which is an open field, b'moisachama during the summer, rishus hayochad l'shabbos is considered a rishus hayochad for Shabbos, rishus rabim l'tumah. We know that there's a din, Sofik Tumah B'Rishus HaYochid. When there's a Sofik of Tumah on Rishus HaYochid, the halacha is that it's Tomei. When we have a Sofik Tumah on Rishus HaRabim, the halacha is it's Tomei. What is this halacha based on? It's based on the halacha of a Saita. If a man, a husband, warns his wife, Kini Vestira, that she should not be secluded with a certain man, and then she is, so if it was in a Rishus HaRabim, the halacha is that she's still considered tohor. If this happened in Rishus HaYochid, she's considered tamei. She may not have relations with her husband until she goes through the soita process of determining if she's indeed innocent or not. So the Mishnah in Masechta Taharos teaches us that this open area in the summer is considered Rishus HaYochid l'Shabbos. It's still considered Rishus HaYochid for Shabbos, and it's considered a Rishus HaRabim for Tumah, because people walked through other people's fields in the summer. Because the way it was, they used to plant the field, as the Gemara Masechta Tanis, the Avov, teaches us, at the beginning of the rainy season. And by the time the second wave of rain came, which the Gemara there identifies at about the 17th day of Mar Cheshvan, people would stop walking through other people's fields, not to damage the growing plants. But once the summer came and all the plants were cut, so now people would travel through other people's fields. So therefore, again, says the Mishnah, in the summer, for Shabbos, it's considered a Rishus HaYochid, for Rishus HaRabim L'Tumah. In the winter, since nobody walks there, so not only is it a Rishus HaYochid for as far as Hilchus Shabbos is concerned, but even for Hilchus Tumah is concerned, because nobody walks there. But what does this Mishnah clearly teaches us? That it's considered a Rishus HaYochid as far as Shabbos is concerned. But we learned in the Braisa at the beginning of today's Shir that an open field is considered a Carmelis. Answers the Gemara, Oima Ulal Oilam Carmelis Ava. Indeed, an open field is always considered like a Carmelis as far as Hilchus Shabbos is concerned. And therefore, if somebody will throw something from Rishus HaYochid or Rishus HaRabim into that area, it will be Potter Aval Osir. It will be Osir, but not Osir Medaraisa, as we've been discussing extensively in our Shiurim. But my Karlei Rishus HaYochid. So why is it calling Rishus HaYochid? Says the Gemara, Fisha ain't Rishus HaRabim, because it's not a Rishus HaRabim. And as the Chasam Sofer explains, since the Tana had to call it a Rishus HaYochid as far as Hilchus Tumah is concerned in the winter, because when we speak about Hilchus Tumah, there is no concept of a Carmelis. There's a concept of a Carmelis by Shabbos, not in any other areas halacha. So that's why in the winter, this area, as we described, is considered Rishus HaYochid regarding Hilchus Tumah. So that's why we also called it a Rosh Hashanah Yochid for Hilchos Shabbos. Even though it's not technically a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, it's really a Karmelis. But we call it a Rosh Hashanah Yochid. We're comfortable in calling it a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, says the Chassam Sofer, because it's not a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So he asks, why don't we call it a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? We don't want to, it's not a Rosh Hashanah Yochid either. And he says that it makes sense, to more sense to call it a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, because it has no mechitzis. So characteristically, it looks more like a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim than like a Rosh Hashanah Yochid. And he says there are Gemaras that we're going to have in the Masechta that says whenever we have something that isn't a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, we're comfortable in calling it a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So he answers, if that would be the case, we would have to say Bika b'Yemayis HaGeshomim, it's a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim for Shabbos and a Rosh Hashanah Yochid for Tumah. And in the summer, it's always a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And that is not true. It's difficult to call such an area a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim for Shabbos in the winter when nobody's walking in there. And people, and when we know as far as Tumah, people are considering it Rosh Hashanah Yochid. And since we're speaking about Hilchos Tumah primarily in that Mishnah, we had to call it this way. Ravashi suggests a different answer. Kivin, this la mechitzis, there we're speaking about a field that has mechitzis around it. You have a karfif which is very large, over two saw, it's over 75,000 square amma, shleihukaf ladira, that area wasn't enclosed as a place of living, but feel a karva karayim, even if it's as large as a karva karayim, which is even bigger, halach is hazarik l'toche chayiv. If somebody throws an object from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim into that area, he's chayiv. My tama, mechitzahi. Since we have valid partitions, so the rice of that area is Rosh Hashanah Yochid. El shemuchaseres the yurin. But because nobody lives there, that's why it gets the name of a Karmelis. So the Mishnah Taurus is talking about a field which is larger than two base saw. It has partitions, and that's why it's called a Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Because on the Daraisa level, it is indeed considered a Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Now, the Gemara made a very important distinction to if it's hukaf ladira or if it's not hukaf ladira. So the halacha is, if a house was opened up to this area before it was enclosed, then the halacha is you can carry anywhere in there like Rosh Hashanah Yochid, because it's considered hukaf for the purpose of the home that was there first. But if when they enclosed this area, there was no home, or there was a home that wasn't open to this field, and then they built a home, or afterwards they opened the door of the home to this area, once it got the shame of a Karmelis, it remains that way. So as we said, this that it's considered Rosh Hashanah Yochid, that's only Midaraisa. That tells us that if somebody carries from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim into that area, Yechayiv. But inside that area, is still also to carry because it's a Karmelis. And as we learned over and over, you're not allowed to carry in an area which is a Karmelis. There is a question that the Bi'ur Halacha discusses. How, in other words, to make it into Rosh Hashanah Yochid, it has to have mechitzis, to make it into Rosh Hashanah Yochid Midaraisa. The question is the fact that there are mechitzis enough to make it a Rosh Hashanah Yochid Midaraisa? Or do the mechitzis have to be at least mechitzis that the people who are within that area could see them? But if the area is so big, that the people can't even see the mechitzas, maybe they're not considered mechitzas. So points out the Gemara. Bishlam Rav Ashi lo amakad ula. Rav Ashi did not explain as Ula explained. Is understandable because why it's called, because Ula's explanation that it's called Rosh Hashayachid, as we explained at the beginning of the year, because for Hilchas Tumah it's Rosh Hashayachid, but it's not really Rosh Hashayachid, is sort of a forced answer. El Ula asked the Gemara, "My Tam Alayim Kishmatzei, why didn't he say what he himself paskined that a karkif that's enclosed is Rosh Hashayachid Medaraisa, but not Medarabanan?" Amaloch, Ida Islay Mechitzis, he says, I have a difficulty in explaining that Mishnah that way. Because if it's referring to a situation where there are mechitzis, bika karale, could you call such an area bika? Karfifi. There's a difference in terminology between a karfif and a bika. And an area which is enclosed is never called a bika, which is the wording, which what is what the Mishnah called it. It would be called a karfif. Ravashi says the main point of that Mishnah is that it's called a Rosh Hashayachid. And if it's a Carmelis, then it shouldn't be called a Rosh Hashayachid. And because of that difficulty, which is the difficulty we began the shiur with today, we had no choice but to call it, but to explain it this way, even though the terminology is not 100% precise. The next type of area that was identified as a Carmelis, there's a place called a Carmelis. Ask the Gemara, Otakula Nami Lav Carmelis Ninu. Everything, all the different cases that we discussed are Carmelis. What is a Carmelis? All these things are Carmelis. All these places are Carmelis. Answers the Gemara, Kiyos Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan. When Rav Dimi, as I saw from a Sri Ragoin, that when Abaya and Rava, in the time of Abaya and Rava, there were terrible decrees in Eretz Yisrael, and most people left Eretz Yisrael and went to Bavel. And that's why when they had such a question, they had to wait from people from Bavel to help them get an answer. We're referring to a situation where there's a home, and there's two homes, five homes altogether. Two homes on the right, two homes on the left. And the middle home is recessed. And that recess, the question is, how do we look at it? The Afagav, the Zimna Dach, and in front of the homes, runs the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The Afagav, the Zimna Dach Bei Rabbim V'ayla Gavah, even though at times that people that enter into that nook from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Kivin the Loinir Teshmishtei, since it's not the place where it's easily accessible, so it's not called a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but rather ki Carmelis Dami. It's considered a Carmelis. So the Pashup Shad is that this area, this middle home, is recessed, and therefore it's enclosed by three walls. There's a problem with that Pshat, because most Rishonim are of the opinion that an area that's enclosed by three walls is automatically a Rosh Hashayachid. And therefore, the other pshat that Rashi and other Rishonim learn is that the homes next to this middle home are built on a slant. And therefore, this nook looks like a V. And since it looks like a V, it only has two walls. And if it only has two walls, then it's not considered a Carmelis. That it's not considered a Rosh Hashayachid, it's considered a Carmelis. So I saw that the Rishonim, the Pnei Yeshua, asks a question. Yes, we, Baruch Hashem, have identified a new type of area, this nook that we're calling. We've identified this area. And we're learning that it has the halachic status of a Carmelis. But the question, the fundamental question, really hasn't been answered. Why, from all the examples of a Carmelis, was specifically this type of situation called a Carmelis, more than any of the other areas that are called a Carmelis? So he says something that we discussed in our previous year. In our previous year, when we spoke about a Carmelis, Taisa said, quoting the Yerushalmi, that where does the word Carmelis come from? karmol. It's not too moist and it's not too dry. It's a little like Rishus HaYochid and a little like Rishus HaRabim. So there's no area that has this definition better than this Karen's office. So therefore, when we speak about calling an area of a Carmelist, the area from all the examples that we gave, that the Brisa, the Gemara have given, of what is a Carmelist, this is the closest to that. And therefore, it makes more sense. Even though, yes, a Yam, we've discussed an ocean and Estevanis, but there aren't places that have both characteristics as much as this place that has it. Another question that I saw is, we've been discussing Carmelis and Carmelis. Why don't we speak about an area that isn't 16 amos wide, that we've been learning, if it's not 16 amos wide, it has to be, it's not considered a Rishus HaRabim. So I saw that, and this area is obviously not 16 amos wide. So I saw that the Rishonim answer, since this area, as we described it, is so close to the Rishus HaRabim, so therefore it would be like maybe the Mavaz HaMufaloshim. In our previous this year, we discussed that the roadways that enter into the Rishus HaRabim are also considered Rishus HaRabim. And the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Mem Hei discusses, it may not be necessary that those roadways be 16 amos wide, because they're auxiliary to the Rishus HaRabim. So the fact that this Keren Zavis isn't 16 amos doesn't help me say that it's not a Rishus HaRabim, and not for what we've been learning now. Says the Gemara, Ki Osir of Dimi Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Bein Ha'amudim. So as we described many times, there were these small pillars in front of where they hung the merchandise they were selling, is considered a Carmelis. My Tama, what's the reason that it's considered a Carmelis? Afagav, the Dorsa B'Rabim, even though the public does walk there, Kivin, the Loi Mestagale B'Hedja, people don't walk there easily. It's not in a straight line because you have those different pillars. That's why I could Carmelis Domyan. Omrav Zera, Omrav Yehuda, it's the Bishlefnei and Mudim, the blocks in front of that area, also need to concanus. Says the Gemara, Lamandam and Bein Amudim, between the pillars where the merchandise is hanging, is considered a Carmelis. Koshken, Itztaba, where it's even harder to work. Lamandam and Itztaba, the area of the Itztaba is Itztacha, that's where it's Loinichat HaShmishtei, it's not easy to get there. Ava Bein Amudim, the area between the pillars, the Nichat HaShmishtei, where it's much easier to get to, there the Aloch is Loi, it's not considered a Carmelis. So we have a very fundamental machlokes. It seems that everybody agrees that the area where the merchandise is hung is considered a Carmelis. The question is, what about the area next to where the people who are selling the merchandise sit? Is that area also considered a Carmelis or not? And again, here we have to say the same vort that we said earlier. That area isn't 16 amos wide. And doesn't an area have to be 16 amos wide to be Rishus HaRabim? Again, we say the answer that since it's auxiliary to the area which is the Rishus HaRabim, which is 16 amos wide, it's enough to make it into Rishus HaRabim. Lishtachrina, different version. Ava bin Hamudim, the Zimna Darsi Le Rabim, sometimes the Rabim go there, Rishus HaRabim Dami. And what's the difference, explained Achroinim, between the first version of this Gemara and the second version? So I saw this explanation. Here, it's not a Rishus HaRabim Gemurah. It's considered like Churei Rishus HaRabim, according to the first version. And later in our shiur today, we're going to discuss the halachic status of a Churei Rishus HaRabim, where Rav's opinion is that Churei Rishus HaRabim don't have the din of Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, it would not be considered Rishus HaRabim. But according to the second version, it's considered a full-fledged Rishus HaRabim. And since it's considered a full-fledged Rishus HaRabim, it doesn't make it, the question of how we treat Chayre Rishus HaRabim has nothing to do with this Gemara. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rabba Bash Shela, Amar Rav Chisda, Levein is a kufa Rishus HaRabim. If there's a brick which is standing upright in the Rishus HaRabim, and the dimensions of a standard brick of a Levena were 3 tfachim by 3 tfachim. The height, however, varied. It was always 3 tfachim in the length, 3 tfachim in the width, and the height varied. So if you have a Levena zakufa b'Rishus HaRabim, and you have a brick standing in the Rishus HaRabim, the Zorak v'tach b'fanel, and as we're going to learn, somebody threw something which was sticky, and it stuck to the face of the brick, chayif. If he threw a dalat amos and Rishus HaRabim, he's going to be chayif for throwing dalat amos and Rishus HaRabim. Al gaba, but if it landed on top, he's potter. It's potter aval osur. Tosfos says that if you have a keli which is 3 tfachim high and 4 tfachim wide, which is sitting in the Rishus HaRabim, it's not considered a karmelis. Why not? Doesn't it have the dimensions of a karmelis? Because Tosfos, and we've quoted this halacha, ein karmelis bekelim. A keli, a brick, cannot become a karmelis. And therefore, if somebody throws something from Rishus HaYochid onto a keli in the Rishus HaRabim, so sometimes, as we're going to learn, it becomes part of the Rishus HaRabim. And sometimes, when it doesn't become part of the Rishus HaRabim, you'll be completely potter. Because it'll be like throwing onto a Makom Patur, where we know that Allah is, if you throw from Rishus HaYochid to a Makom Patur, you're entirely potter. Says the Gemara, Abai v'ravad amr tavayu, v'hu shigvay yishloisha. It has to be at least 3 tfachim tall. D'loy darsi by rabim. So since it's that big, so it's considered an area where people don't step on it. Avil hizmi v'higi. If you have thorns, grass in the Rishus HaRabim, afagav d'loy gvay yishloisha, even if they're not 3 tfachim high, the halacha is that you will be potter, because nobody steps on that area, and therefore it doesn't become part of Rishus HaRabim. V'chiba Rav Amar, he disagrees. Afila hizmi v'higi, people sometimes step on it. Aval tsoya loy, but when you step, tsoya, nobody steps on, and therefore it doesn't become part of Rishus HaRabim. Rashi Amar afilu tsoya. So we have here a machloikis, how to look at different things. Some people avoid walking on thorns, and therefore it's not considered part of Rishus HaRabim. Some people avoid tsoya, but they don't avoid thorns. And some people say even tsoya. Dalocha is that if a person throws something, dalat amos, and it lands on an area with thorns, or even tsoya, it's considered part of Rishus HaRabim, as long as it's not 3 tfachim high. And as the Shulchan Aruch explains, that anything that's on the ground, which is less than 3 tfachim high, is considered part of the ground. So even though people typically avoid stepping on thorns, stepping on tsoya, they're still considered part of the ground. The Machzor Shekel says that since most people avoid such area, therefore, these areas are not distinct from the rest of the Rishus HaRabim. Says the Vilna Goy, that's only if the area is less than 4 tfachim by 4 tfachim. But since, and therefore, says the Vilna Goy, since it's covering such a small area, that people could just step over it. But if it's less than 3 tfachim, then it's a place, if it's less than 3 tfachim high, coupled the fact that people could easily just step over it, it's not 4 tfachim wide, it's considered part of Rishus HaRabim. So I saw that the Sefer Masas Binyamin uses this discussion to discuss what's going to be halacha about a double yellow line in the middle of a highway? Does it have the status of a Shus Rabim? Because since cars and people usually don't walk there. So he wants to suggest that it's connected to the question that we're discussing. The first explanation says that since these areas are less than 3 tefachim high, the halacha is, it becomes part of the Shus Rabim. Especially since cars sometimes do drive over such an area. But according to the Vilna Gaon, it could be considered that such an area, just like he said, if it's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, it's considered a distinct area. Here too, since it's a double yellow line, which people don't normally pass over, maybe that area would not be considered a Shus Rabim. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava Debei Rav Shela. Kiyosu Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan, Ein Karmelis Pechusim Arba. There is no Karmelis that is less than 4 tefachim wide. If you have an area that's less than 4 tefachim wide, it cannot be considered a Karmelis. Vam Rav Sheshes, V'tefeses Arasoro. He makes a statement that it goes up to 10 tefachim. So now the Gemara wants to understand what is meant with that statement. Maiva toifesis adasoro. What is meant with that story? Ilam the ika mechitza soro hu dava karmelis. That if it has a partition that's 10 tefachim high, then such an area could be considered a karmelis. Viloi, but if the partition is not that high, loi have a karmelis, it cannot be considered a karmelis. Ask the Gemara, viloi, is that true? V'ha omar Rav Gidl omar Rav Chiyah bar Yosef omar Rav. Ba'ish ein b'toicha asoro. If you have a house where the interior of the house is not 10 tefachim high. V'kiruyah of mashlim l'asoro. But if you include the thickness of the roof, then you will have 10 tefachim. So al gagoy, if somebody walks on top of that house, it's a rishus hayochid. And therefore, mutal tat b'kuloi. You could carry through that entire area like you could carry on top an area in Rishus HaYochid. But inside the house, is considered a karmelis. And since the inside of the house is considered a karmelis, emetaltum by el arba amis. It has a din of a karmelis, which as we've discussed, a karmelis, you could only carry dalet amisin. Why is the roof considered Rishus HaYochid? So the Rishonim, the Rabbeinu Chananel teaches us, we apply the concept of good asik. And the walls of the house are considered as if they go all the way up. There's an interesting question that the Bi'ur Halacha in Simen Shin Mem Hei, Sift Hezvav, Divrei Maskil Toichoi discusses. Do we say that since the inside of this home doesn't have 10 tefachim, it's considered a full-fledged karmelis? Really, and therefore, it should be considered like Rishus Rabim, and you could carry from there Midaraisa to Rishus Rabim, or maybe Midaraisa, it's certainly Rishus HaYochid. And when the Chazal said that we should be Machmer, it's only L'chumra that it's treated like a karmelis. The Chazanish says the Midaraisa, that area is not considered Rishus HaYochid. If it doesn't have 10 tefachim, a wall of 10 tefachim, you can't consider it a Rishus HaYochid. So what does it mean? But what we see from here is that a karmelis can be considered a karmelis even though it doesn't have a wall of 10 tefachim. So again, my v'tefesis adasara, the adasara who to have a karmelis, only an area up to 10 tefachim has the din of a karmelis. L'mala masarim tefachim lo have a karmelis. An area that's any place that's above 10 tefachim, we learn now a new chiddush. And any area that's above 10 tefachim, is not considered a karmelis. And midaraisa, you could carry from such an area, both to Rishus HaYochid and both to Rishus HaRabim. Because it's not considered a karmelis. Ask the Gemara. L'may helchasa. So again, we have to try to understand. V'kihad amar Rav Shmuel Rav Yehuda, shinana. He was called sharp. because he was very shinner because he was very sharp, or he was called sharp because he had sharp teeth. Like the hey b'milah the shabbos l'malam asara. When you speak about halachas shabbos, you have to understand the area that's more than 10 tefachim above the ground. Ask the gemara l'mai halachas. What are we trying to learn with this statement? Ilayim dein rishus ayochid l'malam asara. Are you trying to say that there is no rishus ayochid above 10 tefachim? Ask the gemara. That's not true because Amar of Chizda. Not kana b'shus hayochid. If somebody stuck a pole into the ground and the shus hayochid, v'zorach v'noch al gabov, and then somebody threw something from the shus harabim onto the top of that pole, afilu gavoy me'ama, even if the pole is 100 amah tall, the halacha is that he's chayiv. The reason that he's chayiv is because it's considered from shus harabim to shus hayochid. Shus hayochid oilad rikia. The Gemara teaches now a new rule. A rule that Rishus HaYochid Oyla Adlo Rikiyah. So I saw that the Imri Emes explains why is there a halacha that Rishus HaYochid Oyla Adlo Rikiyah. We know, he says, that the halacha is that Tumah Ritzutza, that under certain circumstances, we're not going to go into all the details, but under certain circumstances, Tumah goes up Adlo Rikiyah. So says the Imri Emes, if for Tumah, we're going to say something could go up to Rikiyah. So here when we're speaking about Rosh Hashanah for Shabbos, certainly we're going to have to say it goes up to Rikiyah. But then I saw from his grandson, the Pnei Menachem, a very powerful vort. He says, what does the Gemara mean when it says Rosh Hashanah Oila Ad Rikiyah? Sometimes people think that I'm in the privacy of my home. And in the privacy of my home, I could do what I want. Who sees, who knows, who's watching. Teaches us the Gemara. Rishus HaYochid. You think you're in a Rishus HaYochid. You think you're in a private area. You should know that even the most private area goes up Ad L'Rikiyah. From Shemayim, they could see anything you're doing wherever you are. Ella, says the Gemara, perhaps what he means to teach us is the Ein Rishus HaRabim L'malam Asara. That Rishus HaRabim doesn't go above 10 Tefachim. Ask the Gemara, I don't need Shmuel to teach us that halacha. The Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us, Hazarik Abba Amos Bekaisel. If somebody throws 4 amos on a wall, Lamal Masarab Tvachim, if it lands above Sarab Tvachim, the halacha is Kazarik Ba'avir. It's considered that you threw in the air, and it's not considered that you did a malacha. Lamata Masarab Tvachim, Kazarik Ba'aretz. And if it lands on the wall, we spoke about it, we're going to speak about it, it's considered, if you threw Dalet Amos, that you transported something, Dalet Amos and Rishus HaRabim. Why is there no Rishus HaRabim above 10 Tefachim? So Rashi explains, because people, what is the definition of a Rishus HaRabim? The definition of a Rishus HaRabim is a place where people frequent. People don't frequent above 10 Tefachim. Another shot that I saw is that it's Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai taught us all the shiurim, and one of the shiurim, chatzitzin or mechitzin, the Gemara says, are Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, Gemara Masechta Sukkah, and Hey Omer Beis, and this is part of those Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, that Rosh Hashanah Rabban does not extend above 10 Tefachim. Another reason is, as we've mentioned more than once in our shiurim, that when we have Rosh Hashanah, which by definition has to have partitions, it has to have walls, then we could say good asik. But Rosh Hashanah Rabbim doesn't have walls. So if it doesn't have walls, we can't say good asik. And there's no way to extend it above the Sarat Fachim. But the Mishnah Brura, at Simen Shim Mem Hei, Sharat Si and Sifkot Mem Zayin, teaches us that even though we're learning now that you're allowed to technically throw something, Dalet Amos and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, as long as it's above 10 Tefachim, L'chatchila, you shouldn't do that. Because you have to be, and I saw the Chasam Sofer also paskins this way, because you have to be concerned that maybe the item will fall below 10 Tefachim, and now you're dealing with an Isser Daraisa. And even if you'll say that it's not an Issa Deraisa, because it'll be Dovashayin Meskavin, you didn't intend that it should land below 10 Tefachim. Still, since it's so likely that it may happen, That may not be considered Davar She'ein Maskavin. Again, opening up a subject that we're going to discuss extensively later in the Masechta. If you know something is going to happen, it may not be considered a Davar She'ein Maskavin. That's in the category of a Psik Reisha. Ella, so again, Shmuel taught us a chiddush that there's not, when we speak about Hilchos Shabbos, we have to know about 10 Tfachim. Regarding what? Says the Gemara al Karmelis. It's coming to teach us regarding Karmelis. Then Karmelis, Lamala Masara. A Karmelis does not extend above 10 Tfachim. The Kilubar Rabbanan, and the Gemara continues to explain the halachas of a Karmelis. The Kilubar Rabbanan, Mikuli Rishus Ayachim, Mikuli Rishus Rabbim. Chazal gave it the leniencies of Rishus Ayachim and the leniencies of Rishus Rabbim. Mikuli Rishus Ayachim, Diyakim Makim Arba Hudav a Karmelis. Only if it's an area that's 4 Tfachim wide does it become a Karmelis. If it doesn't have that dimension, Viloi, Makim Petor Ba'almahu, it remains a Makim Petor. Mikuli Rishus Rabbim, on the other hand, we give it the leniencies of Rishus Rabbim, that just like Rishus Rabbim only extends out of Sar Tfachim, who to have a Karmel, it only extends to Til Tfachim. So we can't treat the Karmelis more stringently than we treat the Rishus Rabbim. And if Rishus Rabbim doesn't go above 10 Tfachim, Laman Lasar Tfachim, I have a Karmelis. Gufa. So we learned earlier. Amrav Gidl Amrav Chiba Yosef Amrav. Ba'ayish Ein Toicha Sora. You have a house who the interior of the house is not 10 tefachim high. However, the kuriyav mishlim lasara, the thickness of the roof makes you have 10 tefachim high. So halacha is, as we discussed earlier, al-galgoy is considered certainly rishus ayachid, and therefore mutal tat bekulay could carry throughout that entire area. But toichai, the inside is considered a karmelis, and therefore ein metaltel ba'el ba'arba amas. You only may carry the dalar amas. Omer Abaya. But says Abaya, Mechokeba Arba al Arba, if you carve out in the floor of the house an area of 4 Tfachim by 4 Tfachim, so now, at least in that spot, 4 Tfachim by 4 Tfachim, you have the height of a Shlim Lasara, you have the height of 10 Tfachim, so now the entire house becomes a Rosh Hashayachid. And my Tam, Mutal Tafba Kulai, and you could carry throughout the entire house. My Tama, maybe you should only be allowed to carry in that area. The halacha is, have a chayre rishus hayachid. It's considered like the chayre rishus hayachid. And the halacha is that chayre rishus hayachid, rishus hayachid dami. But the mefarshim point out that this is not the only place in Shas that we have this halacha. The Gemara Masech the Sukkah, I saw the Shar Mitzion of halacha, discusses this. He says the Gemara and Masech the Sukkah discusses when you have a sukkah that doesn't have the proper height. And you do the same type of situation where you make a hole to give it the proper height. The halacha is that you have to make that hole, you have to make that hole within 3 tefachim of the wall. Why? Because there we want to make it into a sukkah. And if we want to make it into a sukkah, it has to be that the wall is a kosher wall. And if the wall is so distinct from the hole, that hole has no effect on the wall. The same is regarding Hilchus Mezuzah. But here, when we're not speaking about Hilchus Sukkah, Hilchus Mezuzah, it doesn't make a difference where the hole is. Because we're learning here that the basis of this halacha, that the entire interior of the house will now be considered Rishus HaYochid, is based on a different halacha. A halacha of our Chayr Rishus HaYochid. Ditmar, Chayr Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaYochid Dami. The crevices of Rishus HaYochid are treated like Rishus HaYochid. Chayr Rishus HaRabim. And we mentioned this machlokes earlier. Abaya Omer Rishus HaRabim Dami. Rava Malav Rishus HaRabim Dami. Amal Rava Abaya. Lididoch. Damit Chayr Rishus HaRabim Rishus HaRabim Dami. That the hole, the crevices of Rishus HaYochid are considered, the holes, the crevices of Rishus HaRabim are considered Rishus HaRabim. Ma'ishna mahada chaser of dim amr b'yochid, le'nitzucha el l'karen zavis smuch l'Rishus HaRabim. When we spoke earlier in the shir, in trying to identify when the Brisa said that one of the areas that are called a Karmelis is a place that's a Karmelis, so we said that if it's that nook next to Rishus HaRabim, that's considered a Karmelis. But why is it considered a karmelis? Why is it not considered kechayru shusarabim that you hold a baya that's considered like a shusarabim? Answers the Gemara, just because it's a chayri Rosh Hashanah, says Abaya, doesn't make it into Rosh Hashanah. It has to be hosom lo'nichat eshmishtei. It's not convenient for the public to use that area, and since it's not convenient for the public to use that area, it's not considered a Rosh Hashanah. Here, where it's convenient, it's considered a Rosh Hashanah. So the way the Rishonim categorize what our Gemara is saying is that there are different degrees. A Keren Zavis, which we mentioned earlier in the shir, is an area that's totally inconvenient to use, and everybody will agree that it's not considered like Rosh Hashanah. So, Sidei Rosh Hashanah, which we've mentioned previously as well, is a machlai, is more convenient than the Keren Zavis, and therefore is a machlaikis. Rabbi Lezen Chachamim, how it should be treated. Chayri Rosh Hashanah is even more convenient to use, and that's why Abaye said that it's always considered like a Rosh Hashanah. Tanan. So we learned also early in our shir that the Mishnah teaches us, Hazarek Arba Amos B'Kaisel, if somebody throws something, Dalar Amos, to a wall, L'mal Masar Tfachim, if you threw it above 10 tefachim, it's kezarek ba'avir, because Rosh Hashanah doesn't extend above 10 tefachim. L'matam asar tefachim kezarek ba'aretz. V'avinim bo. But we ask the question, why are you chayiv? My kezarek ba'aretz. Isn't the most fundamental halacha that we've been learning from the beginning of the Masechta that in order to be chayiv, you have to have a hanocha? V'alai noch. So if there's no hanocha, how could you be chayiv? So Rabbi Yochanan answered to that question, Kedvel Shmeneshana. We're talking about a plump fig, which is sticky, and therefore when you throw it against the wall, it sticks onto the wall. Ask the Gemara, however, if we're going to say that the crevices in a Rosh Hashanah have the din of a Rosh Hashanah, ask the Gemara, why do we have to say that Mishnah is talking about a specific, interesting situation where I specifically threw a plump fig, which is very sticky? It's talking about any object, and it landed into that hole. Answers the Gemara, there were two answers to this question. Sometimes the answer offered to this question is that we're talking about even tzra v'chayfetz, even these items, if they fall into the crevice, the mahadvasa, they bounce back out of the crevice, and therefore you don't have a nocha. You don't have ha-nocha. Zinim shanalei, another teretz that was offered, because of las bechor. What happens if the wall has no crevices? Memai, and from where do we see that? That this is talking about a wall that has no crevices. Because let's continue learning. The first part of the Mishnah says, Demikatani Reisha, Zor l'malam asar tefachim, if you throw something above 10 tefachim, kizorik ba'aver, it's like you're throwing it in the air. V'salka da'atach, mekoisel disbechar, if we're talking about a wall that has crevices, why is it considered kizach ba'aver? It should be considered hanach b'char. It landed in the hole. And since it landed in the hole, and it's above 10 tefachim, so area above 10 tefachim is considered Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So why is it not considered that you threw into Rosh Hashanah Yachid? V'chi teima, so what are you going to answer? The less behu arba al arba, that this crevice doesn't have dalet al dalet. And in order for it to be considered Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it has to have dalet al dalet. Ask the Gemara, v'amar Rav Yehuda amar Rav Chiya, Zorak l'mal masar tefachim. If you threw something above 10 tefachim, v'holcha v'nocha b'chor kashu, and it lands in a crevice, bon l'machloikus r'meiv rabbonin. It's the subject of a machloikus r'meiv rabbonin. The r'meiv sa v'choikik in l'hashlim. The machloikus between r'meiv and rabbonin is a machloikus m'sach t'erev in dafiyur on the base. We know that a mezuzah has to be put on the doorway of every home. But there's a dimension to the doorway. It has to be at least 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide. What happens if you have a doorway that has an arch? that doesn't have four tefach, that isn't four tefachim wide at its top. But the wall around it is wide enough and tall enough that if you wanted, you could widen the entrance to have that measurement of four tefachim wide to a height of 10 tefachim. So Meir holds the concept of choik kin lahashlim. And we imagine as if it's completely carved out. Drabonon, and therefore it will be mechuyiv and a mezuzah. Drabonon disagree. So in our case as well, if you subscribe to the concept of choik kin lahashlim, even though the crevice doesn't currently have dalad al dalad, but through choik kin lahashlim, we will consider it dalad al dalad. And Stam Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of Rameya. Elish Mamina, we must say, because the Lesbechar has no crevice. If it has no crevice, it couldn't have landed there. Shmamino, that's why we didn't explain that it's talking about a wall with a crevice, because we had a raya that wall has no crevices.